was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm with Keith Jones in Kansas. Previous hour, we were talking about the self-governing county. We're shifting gears a little bit now to bring in some current news, the important stuff, not the regurgitated CIA-managed prostitute garbage and narrow-minded stuff that's coming out of the other side. Anyway, you're going to hear it here. What's going on in Oregon at the trials, what's going on in Nevada with the trials there for the Bundys and Pete Santilli and the whole crew there who are being held on victimless allegations. And we can't stress enough that society is a fictitious entity, therefore it does not exist, in fact. And it would be a fraud upon the court to suggest otherwise. So I always encourage the one question be asked of the corporate, private corporate government agents: are you, sir, claiming that I have personally done harm to you? And they're going to have to say no, and that's going to leave an imprint on the jury. And you may get objections on that, but I don't see how. Just say, hey, judge, they're claiming the society or the state can be a victim since it's a fictitious entity. Would that not be a fraud upon this court? The judge is going to have to say, I guess it would be, but you know, we don't hear this too much because the bar members aren't going to go there. Their sworn duty is to uphold the system. That's uphold the integrity of the system that has no integrity whatsoever. These people should not even be on trial, let alone be having to go through what they're going through. So anyway, John, back to you. Give us some more of what you saw or what you feel about what you did see today and yesterday in the past few days.
Yeah, so we've got, we're going to start out on Tuesday here in Portland with the actual trial starting with the opening arguments and swearing in the jurors. And we expect about 4 weeks of court here at the most. We expect this trial to go pretty quick. We do have four of the defendants from Nevada being flown in. These other four defendants are still, they're incarcerated. They've been in jail for over a year. One of those is Pete Santilli. His charges were dismissed here in Oregon just before the previous not guilty or before the trial started for the other defendant, but they still held him in custody and took him to Nevada to face charges from 2014. And if nobody really knows who Pete Santilli is, he's just a journalist. He didn't do anything out there. So it's a shame that this gentleman's in jail, sitting there without bond, without any pretrial release. He didn't carry no weapons or guns. So he was just there reporting, and they locked him up, and he's still been in jail for over a year now without bond. But they are bringing him and Ammon Bundy from Idaho. He's one of Clive and Bundy's sons, and also Ryan Payne. He's from Montana, my home state, and they're bringing him as a witness. He's also been incarcerated for over a year. And then Blaine Cooper, and he's also being brought in. So four of these defendants that are incarcerated over in Nevada, they're being flown in as witnesses in this upcoming trial here. So we encourage anybody around the country that wants to come in to help witness what's going on, to support us, or however, to come in. If they give us a call or message me, we'll have housing for them, or if they want to stay for a few days or whatever. But we encourage anybody around the country to come in and witness what's going on for yourself. That way you're not just hearing it from us. You get to see firsthand that what we're saying is true. Witness how the judge is violating our constitutional rights, violating the constitutional rights of these people by holding them in jail and not even giving them a jury trial. These defendants here, they're being denied a jury trial on seven charges. So they've been charged with five felony charges. Then a year later, they just had seven additional charges added after the not guilty. And these federal judges are claiming that any misdemeanor charges, they do not have a right to a jury trial. And we know that's a violation of the Constitution. It's not right. And but they're being denied this. And we're seeing case after case across the country since this is happening that we're hearing other people are the same thing is being happened to them. Marcus Mumford, the attorney for Ammon Bundy there, they charged him with three misdemeanor charges, federal misdemeanor charges, and they're also trying to do the same thing to him, deny him a jury trial. So we encourage people to come there and witness this and see what's happening and speak up about it. That's the only way these things are going to get changed, I feel.
Is it a state statute or a judicial procedure law? That I think it's judicial procedure law. It's tough because we are in the right. We have the Constitution and all kinds of case precedent and common law, and often the state constitution, as well as the federal, and the judicial procedure law seems to be all they care about. That's the only thing they're going to submit to, even if it's in contradiction to state statute. But I'd be interested to know.
State statute here in Oregon gives you the right to a jury, but they're saying that it's not a state, it's a federal issue, and that an act of Congress has given them, has actually taken your right away to a jury, so it's,
Which act of Congress did they cite?
They didn't cite any, that's the thing. We've been trying to get them to cite that. She just, the presiding judge, this federal judge, Judge Brown, just says that it's not a right, it's your privilege, and I'm not giving you that privilege, and that an act of Congress has stated that she is right, and this is what she's stating. And
wow, so, I'd file a piece of paper that says prove it. Yeah. I would at least try that. It's real simple. Yeah. Go ahead, Keith.
John? Yes. You might want to have someone do a little research. About two weeks ago now, we become unpegged from the UN. We're no longer part of the UN Corporation. And with that, they allowed us to go back to common law and to constitutional law, the country. Now, with that power, she can sit there and say, sorry, Charlie, ain't going to happen. Because now it's no longer... You're saying they're saying Congress is now gone to The Hague. Now, you want to deal with The Hague? Be my guest.
Because that's
where it goes from there.
We do have an appeal that you put filed against what she said, so we're hoping to have that heard here shortly because what she's trying to do here, she's holding two trials at once. And if you understand that, so these guys are being tried for five felony charges by a jurors. Then they're being tried on seven misdemeanor charges all at the same time. So how can a sitting jurors hear seven misdemeanor charges but not judge you on them and only judge you on the five felony charges while a judge is not going to be judging you on the five felony charges but only going to judge you on the seven misdemeanors? And these two trials are being held exactly the same time while a judge is sitting on the bench is judging you and going to convict you on the 7 charges, and the jurors, they're supposed to disregard all these misdemeanor charges, but they're hearing the case at the same time, and they're going to only judge you on the 5 felony. Sounds like double jeopardy. I don't see how you can get around
it. Well, it is. It is. Well, no, that's what I was just going to say. There is a way around it. You want to know how to go around it? But I'm sorry, I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen, so all these jurors are 14th Amendment people, so I don't have, they're not my peers.
Exactly.
It says jury means has to be of my peers. That means you have to find people who are not 14th Amendment people.
And we that was brought up today. One of the defendants.
Well, now let me finish, though. Let me finish, John.
Yes.
Is if you study and find, and this is where Eric can tell you, I spent a lot of time studying research. In fact, I got documents here. The 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment were never ratified. So you play their game.
Yes. Yes.
So in other words, you can keep going around and around and around and around it, and you still got the law on your side because it was never ratified. But they're not going to do the research for that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Keith's right on that. Unfortunately, the judicial procedure often will go right in contradiction to all these legal precepts that it's still you have to file it in writing with the court, because at least later you have recourse. If you don't file the paper and you don't object when you hear a decision that you don't agree with, the appeals court usually acts like they don't hear it. So even if it's sometimes a losing battle, it's still worth it to file the paper. It puts the court between a little more in a rock and a hard place, but I've seen them defy their own procedure and their own law so many times that none of it's a guarantee. But you said you got an appeal going on there. So she's the judge on both. She's both the trial judge and the judge for the bench trials.
Yes, she is. She's doing both.
I mean, that's obscene. That's just putting one single dictator above everything and just saying put them all in jail. She's already made it clear she's not friendly to anything to do with due process. Or justice. I mean, it's ridiculous to deny. When you have 3, you may want to look up the fine print in the law, but she probably is riding on that. But it's worth a try. And see if the law doesn't say misdemeanors or if it's amount of jail time. In New York, I think what they say is if it's less than 6 months of jail time attached to the offense, you only get a bench trial and no jury trial. If it's more than 6 months of jail time is possible, then you get a jury trial. So they try to keep everything under 6 months on the penalty, and that way they can just give you bench trials on everything. It's absurd and disgusting. But, you know, what are you going to do if the higher courts are not ruling in your favor? You can take it up the chain. You usually do have better luck in the appeals courts. There is a greater chance of appeal. A lot of cases have been overturned on appeal. But it's so always go to the very last, you know, maneuver that you can do, either whether it's, you know, activism or paper filing. Don't give up until every option is exhausted. Anything else, John? Continue. Hey, why don't we bring in a caller? We may have a lady with some questions. Betty, are you still there with us? Do you?
One question I have is, Mumford been in jail all this time as a lawyer?
No. So Mumford, he got arrested, and they released him right away. He just spent just most of one day in jail, and he placed a bond or whatever they required of him. And so he's been out. He's not in jail.
It's strange that they shouldn't, you know, if they're going to keep the other ones in jail, they don't keep him in also.
I know. We have 19 of them in jail for just a little over a year now in Nevada alone. So, but yes, they
don't forget
him in jail.
Don't forget that he's a lawyer, and they knew that he knows what to do to get out. I'm sure he filed a couple of papers from as quickly as they knew he was going to. I mean, since he was kind of, I don't want to say one of them, because he's definitely obviously one of us, but since he was in their system, as a licensed attorney to practice law in that court, you know, they usually don't hang on to them for too long because they know what to do to file to get out. It's usually a habeas corpus or something like that.
Another question I have is, has anybody gone to the clerk of court to record the sessions?
Yeah, they won't let us record. We've tried and tried. They are recording.
Did you go to clerk of court and get their papers?
Did you file anything with the court clerk, John?
We have. We've filed, several of us have, requesting that we record in there, take recorders. They've totally banned us, totally. Nobody, not even the other media outlets that used to record, they've all been banned also.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, John. Did you cite any federal court case precedents in the letter?
We did. I don't recall what those are. I did not file those myself. And I know there was two different case laws that they cited. And I know that a couple other media outlets also joined us in it trying to get that.
That was probably the letter. Yeah, and you could find that over at Lori Anderson's Google Plus. That sounds like that was probably the letter you submitted. And that cites the federal, Fordyce versus the City of Seattle and Smith versus the City of Cumming, and those are both applicable. One is actually in that circuit. And they still ban the cameras even after the letterhead, even after the federal courts have ruled that circuit must allow cameras. They said no?
Yes, here in Oregon they did. They banned it. They just totally disregarded what we filed and ignored us and told us they still was not going to allow us to.
Yeah, they have a judicial proceeding. I had that same thing happen in New York. It's a little tougher for them because it's in their circuit, but in New York they have what's called a judicial procedure law, and that says, it just makes it impossible for anybody to bring cameras in. They say if you're with the media, then, if you can prove you're with the media, then they come up with another excuse, and the judge always rules they don't want those cameras in there. They're scared of that. But at least you filed. Now, I would, one last thing on that. Don't give up completely. Require that the judge issue in writing the ruling banning the cameras and try to get it in writing. That's what I got from a judge here. When I talked to the clerk, they gave me all the stuff, I said, well, my federal court case precedents trump your judicial procedure law because this under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, my First Amendment right is over and above your state judicial procedure law. And he kind of laughed and smiled. He was really uncomfortable because he knew I was right. But the judge still ruled against me. And I said, could you please ask the judge, if the judge denies the camera, ask him to please issue his ruling, put it in writing. So you may ask that as one last thing because that gives you a little more evidence for recourse if you have to sue later. It's something you could do, and I would encourage you to do it. It seems like a pretty simple lawsuit. I don't see how they can prove that their state judicial procedure or state statute supersedes the federal First Amendment cases in the federal courts in their district. I'm really surprised on that. So you're really playing hardball on this one. And that's also a violation of your. I would file a motion for a hearing. If you think it's not going to work and you've done something close to this, but you might take one last shot at it and file an emergency motion for a hearing regarding the right to a public trial pursuant to Article 6 and 7 of the Constitution. Try it. Give it one last shot. If they say take a hike. I know what you're going through, so I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but I would give it one last shot with a motion for an emergency hearing to ensure a public trial. And the part of having a public trial is allowing the world to see what's going on there. This is a very important case. The entire world's watching.
Definitely,
yeah. I'd like to see some footage from the room. So give it, but I understand.
My question, if you do that, my question would be added tack on one question. If the building was paid for by taxpayers' money, that makes it public. If it's not, I'd like to know whose business or corporation owns the courthouse.
A great point.
Exactly.
If they're denying it on the fact that it's private property, then what are we doing there? And if it's public property, then those two federal court cases apply. But I think they've passed so many procedural garbage, just edicts and orders, just stuff that they make up without any lawful enacting clause or any, you know, legitimate vote or debate on the issue and venting it out to the community. They just made so many arbitrary rulings from administrative judges who are not, and I mean administrative over the court system in the state. There's a chief judge, state Supreme Court judge in every state, and there's a chief administrative judge who basically pulls the strings of all the, writes up all this crap that says no cameras. No, and they basically wrote up a bunch of edicts and orders that say each individual judge can decide basically on their whim what's good for the case, and, you know, their order stands. It doesn't have to have anything to ride on. Your judicial, what would they call it, your judicial discretion supersedes any type of, you know, precedent or statute or lawful claim, anything. So they just basically have carte blanche to do whatever they want to do and issue whatever rulings that they think is best. They added a clause to the Constitution of the state of Florida, the Florida State Constitution, that into the habeas corpus clause that says the writ of habeas corpus cannot be suspended unless time of insurrection or rebellion. That's the way it always read. And then they added the following sentence, or to uphold the integrity of the system. So did you get that? They said they have basically amended the Constitution while nobody was looking, without telling anyone, that they can suspend your habeas corpus right, which is a lawful document that says show me the body.
Wow.
You have to produce the body. Unless there's a lawful claim to hold that person, you have to produce them. Now, they'll ignore habeas corpuses as well, but it's your last best chance. And they even got rid of that with the absurd clause that it's not only in time of insurrection or rebellion, which means like war or a civil war. I would even question that, but that has, I guess you could argue, some legitimacy, not much. Should never be suspended. But, you know, at least they had the excuse in time. And then to uphold the integrity of the system, which has no integrity, and once again, whim, discretion. If the judge thinks that it will uphold the integrity of the witch's court, then we can suspend the right of habeas corpus ad infinitum. Amen.
Wow.
All right. So, it's bad. So I feel for you, John. I've been through it. I tried the right to record letter. The only thing I can say is a motion for an emergency hearing to ensure a public trial, and you would like to argue your case in front of the judge that there must be cameras allowed, and they must adhere to that federal court case precedent. It's the Ninth Circuit, right? So that's Fordyce right there versus the city of Seattle, and it says the First Amendment protects the right of the public to video record matters of public interest on public property. I know it well. I put that letter together. And so you should at least give one last shot across the bow and see if they'll give you a hearing, because in some cases they'll allow you to argue it in front of the judge, and then they love just slapping you around and saying, well, I'm sorry, I have not determined that this is a matter that needs to be filled.
Yes.
And our judicial procedure law says you can't do it anyway. And so they go through the motion. So you might get it, though. You might get a hearing. What it does is it gives you a better chance for recourse on appeal, so to speak, which the appeal to being rejected with the cameras would have to be a federal lawsuit. And I would encourage you to do that. When this trial's over, go down to federal courthouse. You're already there every day. When you're there tomorrow, pick up a federal lawsuit or two, and also get the in-pauper form, which means you can't afford to pay the $400 they want to extort from you to file the lawsuit. And then you file it and sue the judge for violation of your First Amendment rights, cite the case, make it simple and brief, put it in a common law form that they'll understand. It helps to maybe look into the judicial procedures for that court. They have pretty good guidelines in most of the federal lawsuits. The one I have that's blank that I'm waiting to use someday has pro se litigant guidelines. So they actually tell you what's required of you if you're going to represent yourself. So that was kind of at least helpful. Anyway, John, back to you. Anything else you want to add? We've got some that's great information you're bringing with us tonight.
I think that's all I've got right now, but I appreciate you having me on again. So,
can I ask another question?
Yes. Sure, Betty, go ahead. Yep.
How is it that there's not a record in the clerk of court saying that the judge says that the jury is not to know that it is to judge the law as well as the facts?
Jury nullification.
that is. I'm not for sure exactly how to answer the question, but I know that the judge hasn't produced any records for her to stay what she's doing.
No,
she
but
just
you want it in writing
things.
That he said it.
Yes, exactly.
He said it.
And we do have we do have it in the court records where there's a court reporter that's typing everything. And the Judge Brown's court, they make it very difficult for us to get that record because they say it's not been certified yet. It's been shorthand, and if we
want
to get it certified,
I don't want it that way.
Yes.
You know, I don't want it that way. If he has said it once, that's one thing. But now that you know that he may enforce it or say it again, if you preclude that with having something before the trial begins, I should think he could be held liable.
That's what you would think,
later.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that also gives them time to manipulate the record. I've seen them do it before, taking out certain words, deleting things, and it's very, it's you know, they like to manipulate things. I've seen it happen in New York in several cases where the judge, we all see the judge say something, but it didn't appear in the record, and or the defendant had said something that was
taking pictures. Why should we be intimidated by this?
Oh, yeah, well, they should not be. And if they were doing any type of justice and righteous works in the witch's court, they wouldn't be intimidated by the cameras. You wouldn't think. It's obviously, what it's called is it's called presence of guilty mind.
Yes.
And presence of guilty mind means that you can tell they're, I mean, just by what do you have to hide? Why are you afraid of the cameras? Like Betty just said, why should they be intimidated with taking pictures? They should be, I mean, if they're doing the right thing, what do they have to worry about? What are they hiding from? And they're more afraid of cameras than they are of anything else. So it's they really don't like it, and they'll try to overrule it or ignore your motions and filings. They're basically told if somebody's not a member of the bar, you don't hear them. That's what the judges are told. Unless they're a bar licensed member, any member of the public, you don't hear them. Their paperwork can be perfect. The letter's pretty good. It has a little remedy at the end, and it says your courthouse procedures do not supersede the aforementioned court case precedents, and it says failure to comply will be evidence that we are harmed by interference by corporate government agents operating under color of law and exceeding their jurisdiction. It's pretty tight, and it's simple and short. It's just a page or a little bit of a second page, and if they, you know, when that doesn't work, you know, it's you're in the bottom of the barrel of the tyranny. We're right about where the Soviet Union was, except they haven't managed to get all the guns yet. Any comments, Keith, from your end? Hey, Keith, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? John, are we good for the night? Can you check in with us tomorrow?
I can definitely check in with you tomorrow. So I appreciate you having me on.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's make a plan for tomorrow. We've got a commercial come up. John, thank you so much for being with us. John Lamb, they can find you on Facebook. That's John Lamb, L-A-M-B as in boy. John Lamb. Good job, boy. Thank you. We'll talk to
you
tomorrow.
Have a good night.
Appreciate the updates. Yeah, you too, buddy. Got a break here. We'll be right back on Resurrect the Republic with Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Lori and Tom on the RBN Network. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. I hope you're enjoying the show tonight. I'm trying to bring you some valuable information regarding the self-governing county. We kind of spent our first hour discussing. We just had an update from John Lamb, reporter extraordinaire on the scene in Oregon and Nevada, covering both trials for us. Excellent coverage, excellent information, excellent activism. Outstanding courtroom observing. We appreciate John so much for being with us in the last half hour. 45 minutes, actually, he took to update us on what's going on with the Bundy trials and Pete Santilli. I guess that Pete and the several group of people were flown to Oregon from Nevada to be witnesses. The trials in Nevada continue. One, we're into trial mode already, and the other in Oregon, we're still in jury selection and just about to be seated and, I guess, moving forward. So, number one, pray for all the people at these trials. Number two, make the phone calls. The phone calls definitely help. Your voice does matter. Don't ever think your voice doesn't matter, people. It's not only does it matter, it's crucial. Without your voice, other people aren't going to be free. We have to hang together or we'll hang separately. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I've got Keith Jones in Kansas with us. We just had John Lamb, so we're going to get back to talking about the self-governing county and solutions to the nightmares that we're going through all across the land right now. And it seems to all get come down to the witch's court, that's where the final straw is that will either break the camel's back or set us free. It all comes down to these courts. The court, we do not have three separate and equal branches of government in this country. We have the witch's court telling everybody else what to do. Or I should rephrase that, it's really the bar. The bar infiltrates multiple entities. It infiltrates the legislature, because at least in New York and most states, you don't get to run for either political party, either corporation. You don't get to run for office unless you're a licensed attorney. So the people passing the statutes are attorneys. And then they dish it, and everything that comes into the court is prosecuted by the district attorney. And, of course, the judge. You don't get to be a judge in New York, that's for sure, unless you're a licensed bar member attorney. And then you have the defense attorney, who's nothing more than an attorney, a member of the same club that the judge and his opposition is part of. And if you get a public pretender, is what we call the public defender's office, a public pretender will also be a member of the bar. So you have four or five entities now, every single one of them involved with either the making of the law or the statute, and the enforcing of the statute. It's created at the legislature, gets enforced at the courts. And unfortunately, we have police who think they should do whatever they're told to do. Anything that comes out of the legislature is legitimate. I've never heard anything so absurd in my life. How they can live in this country and operate in that mentality, it's scary. It's not good. So education is the key. The state cannot be a victim. And the bar, which is not loyal to America, don't forget the bar, the barristers are chosen by the Inns of Court. The Inns of Court are the four legal societies founded in the early 1300s. And since that time, they have had the exclusive right, this is the dictionary definition, to confer the degree of barrister upon law students. They approve who gets into the bar to be a barrister after your law school. And those four Inns of Court are called Lincoln's Inn, Gray's Inn, the Inner Temple, and the Middle Temple. I kid you not, look it up in the dictionary. Inns of Court, INNS, like an inn where you would sleep at night, called Inns of Court. And they've been picking the law students out of England, out of the London banking establishment. The Crown has been basically having this organization, these Inns of Court, confer the degree of barrister on law students. That's out of the dictionary. So I can only tell you what the definition is, and there's not much assumption. Common sense they've been doing it since then, and they still have the exclusive right to choose who enters the bar. And this is coming out of England. And notice, Lincoln's Inn, Gray's Inn, the Inner Temple, and the Middle Temple. Those are Masonic lodges. Masonic Temple, they kind of gave up calling them Masonic Temples, and they're calling them lodges now because it was just so in-your-face overt that they're a cult and a religion. And the Freemasons are the thread that binds the court and the bar, the legislators. I'll never forget looking up on Ballotpedia the bio of Judge George Bartlett III, I believe it is, Schoharie County, New York, New York State Supreme Court judge. He's a Freemason who is also a member of the bar. He was made a Freemason in 1975. He was admitted to the bar in 1978. So, they were weaving, even in his official biography on the Internet, the intimate relationship between being a Freemason and being a member of the bar. And especially if you're going to plan on being a judge. I'm not saying every attorney is a Freemason, but the Freemasonic temples and lodges are the thread that binds the courts, for sure. Go right online. Look at Al Gore, famous Tennessee Freemason. And you can go down the list. Winston Churchill. I just could go on and on forever about the Freemason thing. And I'm always very suspicious of the two-party left versus right thing, because it always looks like one group of Masons fighting with another group of Masons, i.e. the American Revolution. And we did a show previously on the two George Clintons, one a British admiral and one an American vice president under Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. One was fighting on the British side. His name was George Clinton, the British admiral, governor of New York, the colony, ultimate tyrant, thug, monster of the British crown running the colonies. And George Clinton II, the first governor of New York after the Revolution, when New York became a state, and also vice president under Jefferson and Madison. So two Clintons, both with the exact same name, George Clinton, one a British admiral and one an American vice president for Thomas Jefferson, and both of them the governors of New York. So you had a British George Clinton as the governor of New York, the colony, before the Revolutionary War, and you had an American George Clinton, who was also British. It turns out they're related. The younger got his start from the older as a law clerk in the Ulster County, New York County Clerk's Office. And so a British George Clinton ran New York and the colonies. The revolution was fought. His relative, the younger George Clinton, they don't even call him George Clinton the second. It was just a second George Clinton. If you look it in the dictionary, you'll find it, if you have a good one. And the second George Clinton, intimately related to his cousin, the British admiral, picked up the reins and ran with it and was vice president under Jefferson, Madison, ran New York, the state. His son was the governor of New York twice. So for 100 years, from 20 years before the Revolution to 40 years after the Revolution, or 50 years, almost 100 years, you had a Clinton of the British Admiralty family Clinton, all related to one another, not two separate families, the same family, running the colonies and then running the American states after the Revolutionary War that we supposedly fought for our supposed freedom. So anyway, if you value this information, please stay with us. We have Keith Jones in Kansas. I'm going to turn it over to Keith for some more commentary because I've been talking long enough. Keith, what do you have to say about all this?
Well, it goes back to the thing that we were talking about the other day, you know, is people have to understand that they paid for a lot of these courthouses and the courtrooms, and I mean, the list goes on and on. And if it's truly been paid for by public funds, that makes it whatever that facility or whatever is public. They can't sit there and say, no, well, then give me the name of the business that paid for this. And it goes, I laugh all the time when people say, well, the new stadium went up and then, you know, all this other, and how much did your taxes go up? Well, they went up a tenth or, you know, 20 or whatever. And I said, well, that makes it public, doesn't it? No. I mean, that's what they raised it so they could collect tax money so they could build a facility. That makes it public. So why are you sitting here paying to go watch all these goofy guys or people, and then you already paid for it? You're paying for it again when you go out to the vendors, because the vendors have to buy the food from the city, so they have to jack up the price so the money out of the city can get the money that they need from the vendors. I mean, it's a vicious circle, folks.
Yeah, they dig a hole. They dig a hole, and then tell us that we have to keep filling it in by giving them more resources. And that's the nature of any incorporated government. As soon as government becomes a business,
why do you think they charge us property tax? The property tax is to help feed the animals, we say. Why do you have to pay this tax? Why it's to feed the animals?
Well, that's their excuse. I think it goes beyond that. It's more about having control of the property so the people never get comfortable in any one spot at any one time. They're always on edge because they're going to lose their house on December 31st if they can't afford to pay. Sometimes, and I remember, the little houses up in around Rochester right now, and I mean, these are small. Okay, so this will be a three-bedroom, one-bathroom house. That's it, just one bathroom and three bedrooms, very modest, not huge. A couple of thousand square feet, or not even, and was on a small lot, you know, quarter of an acre or something even smaller. $6,000 every 12 months in taxes. Yeah. That's $500 a month paid to the public prostitutes, every 12 months. All the time, in perpetuity. It's $6,000 every 12 months or $500 a month forever, however you want to look at it. That's obscene. The rent on that house wasn't going to be much more than, if you rented it out, maybe twice that much because it's New York and things are always priced high. But a very modest house to pay $500 a month rent to the town when you own the property free and clear is obscene. And I remember talking to a board member for the town of Penfield, New York, and he said he had to quit because it was so painful for him to watch these elderly people come up in tears because they were losing their house and the public prostitute sitting on the board wouldn't even look at them. They'd just look down at their paperwork and kind of quickly glance out and look over at each other and say, I'm sorry, we have our obligations to meet. Well, their obligations are a bunch of state mandates, and if they're so much of a gutless coward, that let them pay the state with their own money out of their own pocket, not steal everybody's property. Oh, and by the way, in that same town, they were repaving a perfectly good parking lot to the cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars at the school board building on Atlantic Avenue. I drove by, the parking lot was in perfect condition. They came in with all new equipment, dug it up, put a whole new one down, restriped it, just for nothing, just to waste money, just so they could say, we need the money, we got to have the money. And you can be assured that those contractors are intimately related to the town board members. And to have your elderly citizens coming up in tears because they're getting thrown out of their private property, and have the ice-cold lizards who sit on the town board not even give a crap, just put these people out in the street. They need to be, they need a speedy trial and a summary execution. Because they're destroying, under the Nuremberg precedents, if you deny somebody food, water, shelter, land, medical, these are crimes against humanity. These are genocidal. And they are capital offenses, and a capital offense means death penalty. So I'm for it. This is why we need the common law grand jury in a self-governing county, and we're not going to be able to these problems come down the pike like they have been in the larger city areas and the larger counties, the counties where people get lost in their activity and they forget about freedom. They pull that lever, and guess what happens? You've got a town board that'll throw out their senior citizens to freeze to death if they can't pay $500 a month. I mean, when your Social Security checks, you know, twice that maybe, you know, that's there's not much money, and medications are three times that. I mean, we're killing our own people, or we're, let me put it this way, we're allowing our government, our corporate government, to kill our own people. And so anyway, let me get back to you, Keith. Do you have any comments? I'd like to pull in, I think we got Reb still on the line. I'm going to pull in Reb. Reb, keep it clean if I bring in now, okay? And don't be dissing the weed. All right, hit it, buddy.
This is spokesperson for Bubba Scout, Reb, and I'm still on active duty here for our team. But what you guys see is hashtag Bubba Scout Reb. They just put up that hashtag, and it shows how our twitter.com/BubbaScoutRep was run by none other than General Flynn, who's under investigation, is what we're hearing. Now, you got to look it up. It explains. We called this senator who called us last week, Gardner, and he had a chance to ask the Secretary of Defense about this, but he hung up. It was his staffer, Jonathan, he gave the name. This is serious business. And to prove how serious it is, I'd get the Secretary of Defense on the phone right now. Not the Honorable James Mattis, Secretary of Defense. I can get their office. If you want to hear, and you're the rightfully outraged incumbent public of the United States of America, and we're not winning the wars, so you get to ask a question. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Is it?
Would you want to do, Rep, give out a number of that?
I would have the Secretary of Defense office on the phone right now.
Yeah, let them chime in. Ask them to greet our listeners. Tell them we're a big fan of the military. We'd like to bring them home and start arresting the domestic enemies that we have in our corporate government.
Well, we don't need to bring the ones around the world home. We got so many here that we don't need them home. But I'll go get Mr. Secretary of Defense office worker. They know who we are, Bubba Scout Reb, but I'm not sure they'll stay on the line, but they could. If they do, they'll answer somewhat. And you could ask them about bringing home troops. I'll tell them who we got on the phone, and you'll hear it in a second. Just listen.
Okay. Sounds good. We got Reb on the line. We've got someone from the DOD coming on here, folks, so hang tight.
What we need to do is get Mad Dog on here.
First team, Bubba Scout Reb. And we're phoning in with some of the outraged United States of America public that are outraged about a lot of things, not the least of which that Bubba Scout Rev was transmitted by U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency under the direction of this Lieutenant General Flynn, who they want investigated. And we think he did a good job, but when he quit, they gave that Twitter page back to the enemy in San Francisco. And somebody wants to ask you a question now. Is that okay?
Sure, man.
Go ahead.
Well, clear. The audio's a little bit. Yeah, how are you doing? This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on Resurrect the Republic. We're a radio presence here out on in the ethers, broadcasting worldwide. And we just want to put out a commentary. If you want to make a comment on the to our listeners, we welcome that. My first thought is, let's bring some of the troops home and start arresting the domestic enemies that are infesting our incorporated government. How do you feel about that, my sir?
You copy?
Well, Rev, we gave him a shot.
Okay. Rev.
I'm not picking up anything, Rev. You want to continue with your comment? Otherwise, I want Keith to close out the show.
Yeah, you can look us up on hashtag Bubba Scout Rev. And we wanted to put down the revolution in Soviet Colorado and this Governor Noriega and his gang of thieves and the Mujahideen Guinea that almost murdered us. And that's why USDIA got involved in the first place, because then they took it to the bosses at the Joint Chiefs and were approved by Army War College. So we're going to keep voting until we get this done. It's going to get worldwide. And we'd like to hear why General Flynn and his buddies are covering up that we were transmitted by them around the world. We know why, but we like to hear from them. So say hi to Secretary Mattis for us. Also, we got inside the White House today. Okay, that's it for now. Out here. So you got to ask him a question. He didn't want to answer, did he?
No, I heard someone was there, though. I did hear it did sound like somebody was there. I think I was asking the, I had to cut right to the chase, folks. So I wasn't gonna soft shoe him. You got to answer the tough question. When are the troops coming home to help us arrest the domestic enemies that are infesting our incorporated government? I'll take all the help
That's
we can get right
bad,
now, and I trust,
like I said,
I trust the military a lot more than the police.
Yeah, we do, too. That's why we want to drive this through, because we're experts. It's called Threat Removal Urban Environment. We're experts, and we can't test it out till our troops get here. But you heard him, Office Secretary of Defense Duty, NCO. You heard that part.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Reb, thanks for the call, man. Check in with us another day. I appreciate your input. Good stuff. Let's get back to Keith in Kansas. Hey, Keith, what do you think about all this? And you want to make some closing comments on the self-governing county? We got about 5 minutes left. I want to give it to Keith because he's been so patiently sitting there. Who does? Oh, yeah, Betty. Yeah, Betty's got one more question. Let's get Betty. She's such a sweetheart. Betty, you want to get one last question? Oh, she just dropped. All right. Well, no problem. Keith, take it away, my friend. We got about 5-6 minutes left. What do you have to say, Keith?
Well, I think the biggest thing we need to do is what you're saying, bringing our troops home. But at the same time, we the people have got to take a stand. And the only way we can do that is to go back. And we had a group of people that were originally founded in 1764, which we call the Continental U.S. Marshals. And I think we need to redevelop that. There's a group now under a corporation called U.S. Marshals, which is nothing to what the original Continental U.S. Marshals were for, because the original Continental Marshals were for to protect the horse riders, because they were transporting documents and money and everything else for Wells Fargo or for the post office. And they were a necessity for this country.
Right, Keith.
At this point, we don't have them. Now, there's a group of people that I know and associated with that are doing everything we can to find people or recruits who are willing to learn and to be part of this. And they were even going through the world court to make sure they're certified and everything's correct. And as well, they have a facility on the West Coast to let them come out, have a lifetime membership for $1,000, and be trained. Now, what more can we ask for?
Yeah,
we've done as much as we can as people to try to get people interested to sit down and take an active part in this country to save it. I've given you a ton of information, and I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg, with a lot of information on how to do the self-governing county. Okay? Again, we have to take our place. If we don't, well, I make comments to people all the time. Let me find you a ship and or a boat or whatever, and we'll let it float you to a county or a country that you'll be happy with. I know that sounds hard, but that's the bottom line. Because this country is founded on Christian beliefs, Christian principles, and Christian teaching. That was from get-go. What do we have now? We have nothing here. I mean, you sit down and mention that, you get all this New Age nonsense, you get to do it. You get the Mormons and you get the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, but if you study anything about it, that's a part of the thing for what the original teaching, what came over this country was for. Because it's all hooked into the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, it did. It does appear to be that way. And especially Keith and I had a talk to you earlier about not in this program, but earlier today or yesterday, about the missing books of the Bible. And I was going to get into kind of reading some of them, and Keith brought up some concerns, and as I read into it, it more and more looks like there's many counterfeit scriptures out there. Let's just put it that way, and people should be free to worship however they want to, but counties should also be able to be set up with Christian founding principles, and I just have chapter and verse of early statesmen and founding fathers and early Continental Congress documents. I mean, let me just open up this book to just one page. And this book is several inches thick. Continental Congress, September 11th, 1777, approved and recommended to the people that 20,000 copies of the Holy Bible be imported from other sources. This was in response to the shortage of Bibles in America caused by the Revolutionary War interrupting trade with England. The chaplain of Congress, Patrick Allison, brought the matter to the attention of Congress, who assigned it to a special congressional committee, which reported, "The use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great that your committee refers to the above consideration of Congress, and if Congress shall not think it expedient to order the importation of types and paper, the committee recommends that Congress will order the Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles from Holland, Scotland, or elsewhere into the different parts of the states of the Union. Whereupon it is resolved accordingly to direct said Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 copies of the Bible." We got to end it there, folks. Support us at courtroomwatch.org if you enjoy this radio presence. Courtroomwatch.org. Please donate. Support what you hear tonight. We bring you as much truth as we can. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, and I thank Keith and everybody else who called in to the RBN Network. See you next time, folks, and thanks for being with us.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.